not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped, and yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. This is Dreamland. Good evening, everybody. This should be quite the program. As promised, we will have Robert Monroe of Linda Howe somehow has managed to get an interview with Dr. Shoemaker, the famous Dr. Shoemaker of Shoemaker-Levy 9, of the Shoemaker-Levy 9 comets, or comet pieces, I guess I should say, that are right now impacting on Jupiter, significantly more of an impact than I guess anybody dared hope. So, all the way out to Philadelphia to begin the program, and Linda Howe and her interview with... wow, Linda, how did you get an interview with Dr. Shoemaker?
Well, I went down yesterday to Baltimore to the Space Telescope Science Institute, and Dr. Shoemaker was there with his wife, Carolyn, who is also a scientist. The two of them, together with amateur astronomer David Levy, discovered this comet on a film negative last year. And as they pointed out, this is an unprecedented event. They don't know if this is something that would happen in 1,000 years or thousands of years. And they were lucky enough, using a particular kind of stereoscopic viewing device, that when they look at the negatives, if the negative at one moment has an object in it that has moved, and the next negative is later, when they look through a stereoscopic device, anything that moves from negative frame to negative frame will appear to float in the air. It was an old school technique that Mrs. Shoemaker adopted for hunting for comets on negatives. And when she saw this strange thing floating on the negative that looked to her like a bar, that's when she called to her husband and to David Levy and said, come look at this, and the rest is history. Now, to give our Dreamland listeners a sense of the size and energy of these objects hitting Jupiter this week, I talked with Dr. Eugene Shoemaker this morning. He is a geologist. He is with his wife and Dr. Levy, one of the three who discovered this comet. He has been a geologist with the United States Geological Survey since 1948. He has also been associated with the California Institute of Technology and NASA. He is a member of the National Academy of Sciences and has received many awards during his career, including the NASA Medal for Scientific Achievement and the National Medal of Science. He is considered to be a world expert in the mechanics of meteorite impacts and other large body impact processes, and he was heavily involved in planning and conducting the lunar science accomplished during the Ranger, Surveyor, and Apollo programs. He is also the science team leader for the Clementine Deep Space Program science experiment that recently has photographed the moon and that we have discussed after I play this interview that I did this morning with him about the current comet. I will just give you also a quick update of his point of view on Clementine. So now, Dr. Eugene Shoemaker today beginning a reply to my question, what would have happened if A and C, or an object like A and C, were ever to hit our Earth?
Well, if this object has hit the Earth instead of Jupiter, it would plunge through the atmosphere, and if it landed on a continent, it would make a crater about 20 kilometers in diameter.
Which is about 10 miles?
Oh, it would be a little bit more than 10 miles, say about 13 miles in diameter.
And you, in the press conference, put that in the context that if object A had hit Washington, D.C., what would have happened?
Washington, D.C. would have disappeared completely. Not only Washington, D.C., but a large part of surrounding parts of Virginia and Maryland would be gone, too. The crater itself would completely obliterate, if it was a dead-centered hit, would completely obliterate the city, the ejecta blanket, the flying rocks and material thrown out of the crater would overlap all the surrounding suburban areas and surrounding cities in Virginia and Maryland. and so. You would take all of that out. Probably Baltimore would suffer serious damage by the shockwave itself. It would be an enormous catastrophe.
And then all of that rubble from the impact, would there have been a residual effect?
Yes, we'd expect from a crater that size a lot of fine particles, dust, would be carried well up into the stratosphere. They'd be distributed worldwide after a period of a week or so, and you'd have a dust tunnel all over the northern hemisphere, which would probably stay up for a matter of several weeks, perhaps several months. It would cool the temperatures of the Earth's surface. It would produce a very significant climatic change.
Now, compare that to G that is going to come up on Monday morning that is significantly larger. If A is maybe a half a mile in diameter, and if G is maybe...
G is probably about 2 miles in diameter. Now we're talking about a crater that is vastly larger. We're talking about something, a crater would be 60 kilometers or about 40 miles in diameter. This is starting to get into the size range where we might expect a truly global catastrophe, possibly strong enough to take out some fraction of the living species on the Earth.
And that's one of the reasons why it is important for us to pay attention about this sort of once-in-a-millennium event that is happening, yes, on a gaseous planet, and ours is a different kind of planet, but if anything similar were coming toward the Earth, we would be in a catastrophic situation. Many people, thinking in terms of this energy and seeing these photographs of the plume, the average man in the street is saying, if this planet, Jupiter, is largely hydrogen gas, why aren't these kinds of impacts with gigantic energy in them causing a fire to spread around the planet Jupiter?
Well, what one has to remember is to get a fire, as we usually think of it, you have to have combustible materials and you have to have oxygen. Now, you do have hydrogen as a combustible material, but there's no oxygen to burn the hydrogen in Jupiter. So even though you create an intensely hot ball tens of thousands of degrees hot, it's not going to burn in the conventional sense, nor will it burn in a nuclear sense either. It just gets very hot. It will produce some new chemistry, but it's not going to burn in the ordinary sense that we think of that term.
So the plumes are a rising ball of hot gas that's glowing. But on the surface, in terms of in the visible spectrum, these impact sites are black, are very dark. What could there be in the chemistry of a hot, what is essentially hydrogen gas that could produce anything that was black?
Oh, well, remember, we're adding the cometary material now to that plume. So there is hydrogen, there's helium, there are trace amounts of other things. We probably are bringing up water vapor from lower down. And other things that we don't know about, because we really haven't probed the atmosphere of Jupiter below the cloud tops before. So it's going to be a very important test. But what we are seeing is something that is dark, even though it's high up. And it may be cometary constituents that are giving that very dark color. We're not sure.
But it possibly could come from a slushier interior underneath the hydrogen atmosphere in the planet, from inside the planet Jupiter itself?
No, the hydrogen atmosphere goes all the way down very deep. But it goes down to a point where the pressure is so high that even hydrogen is compressed to the metallic state. So it's mostly hydrogen with a mixture of helium to a very deep level, with trace amounts of other chemicals in it.
Could G, H, K, or Q, the large ones, could they get down and penetrate to the center of Jupiter?
No, we wouldn't expect them to get anywhere near the center of Jupiter, but the largest fragments might penetrate as deep as 200 or 300 kilometers, say, possibly as much as 200 miles. That puts it very deep below the cloud tops.
And in terms of spectrographs, are you going to then have for the very first time the ability to analyze something that might be down that far in the interior of Jupiter? Are you going to be able to actually see be, quote-unquote, into the interior, so to speak?
We won't see down into the tunnel, but what will happen is the material that's down there is going to burst back out onto the surface where we can see it and spread out in a spot. It'll be laid down on the top of the atmosphere and spread out on a spot that can then be analyzed spectroscopically with large telescopes.
Well, one of the surprises has been that the spot impact has lasted now much longer than had originally been expected. Think that there's a possibility that these spots could last maybe for weeks and months, and could they possibly be similar to the other oval objects on Jupiter? Could they be the remnants of other impacts from comets and meteors over the past eons?
The theoretical expectations were that if the nuclei were as big as a kilometer, or about 6/10 of a mile, they could generate a very long-lasting vortex or storm that might last for months. So what, now that we've seen the plume, we're not surprised that the spot is lasting as long as it is. And indeed, it may be a fairly long-lasting small white oval that's left after a period of time.
So in a week or so, we may actually have a string of pearls in these holes in the bottom of Jupiter.
That's right. We're seeing a new string of pearls, different kinds of pearls than the string we discovered to begin with. So I hope they last a long time.
Could the big red spot on Jupiter itself have been the impact of maybe something gigantic that hit Jupiter in the past?
Yes, it's possible that the great red spot could have been formed that way. However, we know from theoretical studies that large storms or vortices are generated quite naturally, spontaneously in the atmosphere of Jupiter. So it's more probable that most of those spots, the white ovals and the great red spots, are in fact formed by internal processes within Jupiter rather than by impact. But certainly some of them could be caused by impact.
There's been a great deal of speculation leading up to this that this impact of 21 objects pinging into Jupiter on a sort of regular basis could possibly set Jupiter oscillating or ringing in some way, and that it might have impact on the rest of the solar system. Is there any possibility of impact on our Earth from this repeated impact on Jupiter?
Well, these impacts will set up what are called free oscillations within the planet Jupiter. They'll be very difficult to detect, but some people are certainly hoping to see that. So in some sense, Jupiter will be ringing like a bell that you struck about 20 times with many tones and overtones. But that will have no effect on us. All of this is happening, 500 million miles away. And so the effect on Earth is all the excitement that we have in this room right now and among astronomers and people who are looking on and enjoying the spectacle.
So what is your final comment about these headlines and some of the, we'll call it in the less credible newspapers, Earth's weather will be changed forever, or there may be earthquakes. What is your comment on this?
That's pure fantasy. It's yellow journalism.
Why do you think people that may not be astronomers, why do they have that reaction to something like a broken-up comet smashing into Jupiter?
Well, I think some people are always looking for doomsday and will seize on anything. And there's no scientific basis for it whatsoever.
The final summary over the next year of where all of this week may take you and other scientists in terms of a deeper understanding about Jupiter and the processes on Jupiter. If you were guessing a year from now where some of the preliminary data might be leading, how would you personally project?
I think we're going to learn very closely what the sizes and energies of each one of these comet impacting bodies was like. We're going to have our first look at this material that's been dredged up from below the cloud tops. We'll learn a great deal about the chemistry of the lower parts of the atmosphere of Jupiter, possibly about the comet as well. I'm very hopeful that we will really see the seismic wave, the acoustic wave, which will probe the interior of Jupiter and actually for the first time give us direct information on the internal structure of that giant planet, which would be a great scientific coup if that happens.
Okay, Art, that was as of about noon today.
Wow.
With Dr. Shoemaker.
What an interview, Linda.
Well, And this is so exciting, and the scientists are like children almost with their elation because how rare this is. As he, Dr. Shoemaker, said, this is the capstone of his life, that if he had dreamed anything that could possibly have been more astonishing to him, it could not be equal to what is happening on Jupiter now.
And to give credit where credit is due, it sounds to me as though part of the credit is due to his wife, Mrs. Shoemaker. I hadn't heard that before.
Oh, absolutely. They have worked together as a team for a long time. And he, last night, gave us a blow-by-blow of how that comet had been discovered. And they have worked as a three-person team for quite a while. But the two of them, they're both doctor and doctor. Dr. Shoemaker, Jean Shoemaker, that we have just heard, and Dr. Carolyn Shoemaker have worked together as a team for a very long time, and she is the one who they all say has the gift, and that's the way they call it, has the gift for seeing the comets in this stereoscopic view device that they use from negative to negative. It's quite a fascinating